Happy Father's Day to all the fathers here. You know, I know it wasn't for all the women. Us men would not be fathers. So, happy helping Father's Day, ladies. God is good. You know, on Father's Day we do a lot of reflecting back on our earthly fathers. And a lot of time we reflect back as fathers on our own lives. And I'm just here to tell you that not one of us is perfect. Now we try. We try to do the best we can. We fall in some areas. But there's one Father in heaven who's always perfect. You know? So we just keep our eyes on Him today, maybe, and let Him lift you up today. You know, my earthly father, to me, he was my hero. I idolized him. I thought he could do no wrong. Of course, as I grew older, I realized my father in heaven wasn't perfect, or my father on earth wasn't perfect. But he taught me a lot of things. You know, and I've shared over the years a few things that still, to this day, comes back in my mind. Some of his wisdom. And I can always see my dad putting gasoline in the lawnmower. And my dad smoked. And he said, listen, don't smoke around gas. He'd always take a cigarette out and he'd lay it over there a little ways and come back. But you know, but every time he put gas in there, I'm 4 years old. I don't smoke, Dad, you know. But he's telling me, oh, listen, but don't smoke around gas. And my father was a veteran of World War II, served in the Marine Corps, and he's seen some nasty stuff take place with gasoline, how unstable it is, so he wanted to make sure his son knew not to do that. And to this day, when I put gas in my lawnmower, I still hear my dad, now I don't smoke today, but I still hear him telling me, don't smoke around gas. Because more wisdom I received was, don't start smoking, Starkey. Because you do, you spend your last penny on cigarettes. Oh, come on now. Well, needless to say, 15 years old, I started smoking. 16 years old, I have a job at Spittler's washing dishes. And needless to say, I spent my last penny on cigarettes. One day, you ever go under the car seat trying to find that nickel for them cigarettes? That's back when it was 35 cents a pack, you know. And so again, he told me that before I even started doing it. And he was correct. He was correct. That was amazing. But now, praise God, I don't smoke anymore. I mean, I would be. Yeah, I mean, I don't smoke. I eat donuts. So if you smoke, touche, I eat donuts. So we're breaking even, okay? He taught me to always leave work early. Leave for work early. Don't leave work early. He always had to leave in time just in case you have a flat tire going to work. You're still making on time because people depend upon you. I never forgot that. I always left to go work early. And he taught me to say what you mean, but mean what you say. Yeah, which really has a lot of gist to it, you know. Say what you mean, but just make sure you mean it when you say it. Because we all know that when words come out of our mouths, they're out. And you can't get them back in. And probably one of the greatest things my father taught me was nothing he said at all, but just me observing his life. To watch him, the responsibilities that he had. I watched him work three jobs. You know, farm, coal mine, General Electric. You know, he took a family serious in his responsibility. And, you know, it taught me, and as I matured as a father, I ended up working three jobs. You know, I just...
At one time.
And as I look back now from my perspective at 60 years old, and I look back at my father, I wish I only worked two jobs. I wish I spent more time with my family. Okay? And I believe my father would say the same thing, that he wished that he would have worked less. Okay? So if you're here today and you're a young father, I just say to you, cover your bills, but stay with your family. You know, I can still remember talking to my son one day. I was working midnight shift sheriff's office, day shift, carrying the mail. Did that for 5 years. Remember? You remember that, do you? You remember me?
Barely.
I slept for 4 hours a day in my basement. She waked me up. She had to tell me how to dress. Put on my uniform for the sheriff's office and go and carry mail. But I'll never forget coming home.
You didn't know if it was...
I couldn't tell. I just... I remember one day I just burned out, man. I came home and we lived in Plainfield. I sat down on the front stoop and my son Ryan was there with me. I don't know how old he was, but not that old. 8 years, 9 years old. I said, son, what do you rather have? All this money Dad's bringing home, or you want Daddy at home? And he didn't take 1 second. He said, I want you home, Dad. And so I went in the next day and resigned from the post office. But it's just things like that that, you know, I think every one of us, we mature a lot when we get older. And so we wish we'd done things different in the past. But what we can do is just share that with the next generation. And the next generation might receive it, or they might think, oh, no. Vicky, I'll never spend my last penny on cigarettes. I'm going to start smoking anyway, you know. I look at my father, I just thank God for him. I know that, I know he loved me and cared for me. And today we look at our Heavenly Father, and in the same way, he wants to give us wisdom. Okay? He wants to share with his children things that we can do to allow him to bless us. And I got a couple of verses I want to share with you this morning. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. And he gives us his word to us to help us. We have to remember that. God loves us. Amen? You know, when my dad was giving me all his instructions, because he loved me, he cared for me. And this is God's word to his children, to us. And as Carol was saying earlier in the songs there, you know, John 1:12 says that those of us who have received Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we become a child of God. Isn't that awesome? Prior to that, we're his creation, but we're not his child because we'll separate him because of sin. But when we receive Christ as our Savior and Lord, we're reconciled to God, and he is our Heavenly Father. I mean, he's the Father we can brag on. But this is his instructions to each one of us. In verse 5 of chapter 3 of Proverbs, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so that your barns may be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. And so his instructions to you is, first of all, trust in the Lord with all your heart. All your heart. If we're trusting God with all our heart, there's no room in our heart for anything else to get in there to take away from what God has for us. And don't lean on your own understanding. That's the hard part, guys, because like I said earlier this morning, we're so used to the world coming against us, using us, taking advantage of us. We always got this little blockade up there. Don't get too close to me, okay? Don't get too close to me. So when God says, I love you, you know, I care for you, I provide for you, just follow me, we want to say, oh, maybe not. What? Forgive people? Forgive those who hurt me? Well, you're not my shoes, God. You don't have to be. He says, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't think about the way the world does. Too many times we try to take our relationship with God the same way we do with the world. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. It just gives a perverted sense of the Word of God and it separates us from Him more and more. So his wisdom to his children said, man, don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge me in all you do. You going to work tomorrow? You acknowledge God. How do you do that? By living for Him. When you work for your employer, you work as if Jesus Christ is your foreman. Okay? Wow. Well, I can't do that. You don't know my foreman. Well, I don't have to. God does. But He says, man, listen, acknowledge me in all your ways. You know, He's always looking at an excuse to bless you, Bonnie. Remember that the father always wants to bring blessings to his children, okay? And so as he goes looking around his kids, hey man, who really got a heart for me? Oh, there's Don. Yeah, boom. Next thing, he has a reason to put a blessing upon you as obedient children to God. He wants to be our father, not just on the weekend. Okay, how's that saying go? He just doesn't want weekend visitations. He wants 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's awesome. That's a father that truly loves us. Amen. He says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So, if you acknowledge his word in everything that you do, everything you say, where you go, what you're going to do tomorrow, next day, he will make your path straight. So what's so important about having your path straight? Well, you make a straight path straight to him. And that's very important. Now, the old devil will be out there and he'll try to put a stumbling block in the way. You know? You go to church today, man, you're going to feel awesome, man, being in the presence of God. But tonight, hey, man, ain't seen you in years. What's going on? Come on in. Okay? Here you have established a relationship with God Almighty, amen? But that knock on the door, just somebody from the past just showed up. Somebody from back in the wild days just showed up, okay? And they're still in the wild days. You ever got any friends like that that's still in the wild days, okay?
Family.
Yeah, family like that. Woo-hoo. Ryan, take that out of the recording. Okay. Well, wait. Acknowledge it. So the best thing you got to do right from the very beginning when they come, hey, how you always say, hey, how you doing? You know, boy, I haven't seen you in years, man. You doing good? Yeah, yeah. Anything different? Well, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian. Boom. You just right then, look what you just did.
Yep.
You're not being insulting. You just draw the line. I am a Christian. You say, basically say, hey, I'm not the old person anymore. You know, I've been born again. And just because otherwise their mind is thinking clear back years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, years ago. And we all got friends we haven't seen for 40 years, probably. At least I do, from high school and stuff. And the minute you come together, you're back there 40 years ago. You're listening to, you know, CCR back in the day, you know. But what's new with you? Oh, they'll say, oh, not much, just hanging in there. How about you? Yeah, hey, man, I'm a born-again Christian. And that way, yeah, they might look at you kind of funny. But don't be ashamed of it, but just acknowledge him right then. And who knows what they might say? Wow, you know, I've been thinking about the Lord. I've been thinking about my life. You know? I've been thinking about what's the purpose on life anyway. You know, and my friends be saying, well, man, we're close to 60. I mean, what's the meaning? And man, you just open the door. They can come to you now and they ask you questions. Yeah. They might have been thinking for things for years. And so when you acknowledge them, make your path straight, man, you get a chance to witness to your buddies from years ago. Just by this right away. If we don't say, well, what's new with you? Oh, not much. Yeah, same old thing. And I'm not saying we're ashamed of saying we're Christian, but in their mind then, they're going back where he was 40 years ago. But, you know, and because then nothing has changed. And then pretty soon your conversation gets so deep in the old days. Oh, now you feel so guilty. Lord, I shouldn't. Oh, man, I can't tell him I'm a Christian now. I just laughed at that joke. And then you just get covered up with guilt and stuff. And you never get a chance to acknowledge God in your life. But I think we've all been there, you know. We've all been there. And when that happens, we ask the Lord to forgive us. Which he wants to, and we learn from it. The next time that knock on the door, they, hey, what's new? Hey, I'll tell you what, I've been going to church lately, you know. The crazy guy on Main Street I've got to listen to, you know. But we just acknowledge him right away. And what he tells us is, don't be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Okay? So fear the Lord, have a respect for the Lord like you have for no one else. Fear him. It doesn't mean be scared of him. That's a reverence of the Lord. Yeah. And then he tells us then to turn away from evil. So we have the reverence for the Lord, okay? But then it's up to us to turn away from the evil. You know, this is the father's wisdom to his children today. We have to turn. Everybody can turn, okay? It's the same way somebody knocks on the door, you answer it and say, hey, come on, let's go out and party tonight. Nah, I don't want to. Come on out. No, listen, I'm busy. Close the door and turn away. Okay, you're not trying to insult them. But we have to watch out for our salvation, right? We have to watch out the way we're walking. We don't fall back in the way we come from, you know?
Yep.
Love to witness, love to share, love to help someone out of that pit. But man, I tell you, too many times people reach down in the pit to help people out and they get pulled back in. Yeah. Because they're not rooted over here yet, you know. Sometimes here, Daryl Hammond, it's kind of like, we'll reach down to my friend here, you know. So I get you praying for me tonight as I go out here and I'm witnessing to my friend. That way, I won't be pulled back into where I came from. Because Satan wants to do that, you know that? He wants to take you right back where he found you. Laying up, oh man, but God doesn't. He says, man, disrespect me. He says, and turn away from evil. Then he tells, it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Oh my. Healing to your body. Can you recall the day you asked Christ into your life? Can you remember the day that you prayed and asked him in? Oh, just a refreshing that was. It's just like a million pounds. Woo! You can't explain it. But when that sin guilt was relieved from your body, oh man, it's just awesome. Awesome. But he says it brings healing to your body. Healing to your body. And it brings it more in one way, but healing to your body because sin is what brought sickness into the world to start with. Okay? Now we get sick today because of sin in the world, but sometimes our own sin can bring sickness upon us. Because when we're in sin, we open the door up to Satan. And Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy. Amen? Yes. God will never put a disease on his children. Understand that. He never will. Now you see what God has done in the past against his enemies. But the child of God, you are his child. So never receive any sickness, disease, saying, well, God's in control. He must want me to have that. Don't receive that. That's a lie from Satan. Amen? Amen. Then he tells us to honor the Lord with your wealth and from the first of all your produce. And so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So the way of saying honor him with our finances, you know, put our money where our mouth is, per se. But he's saying that he will honor us, he'll fill us up, and he'll take care of us. Now, again, wisdom to his children. And then if you're here today, you're not a child of God, you're just kind of hanging out and listening. Man, this is the promise he has for his children. If we just acknowledge him in our life. I mean, look what the world has done to us. Following the world, look where we're at today in the world itself. We are in a moral decline. Okay? There is nothing that's wrong anymore, except the things that are truly right. Amen? Okay? I mean, boom. That's following the world. And God says to his children, don't follow the world. You're not in the world anymore. If you're born again, you have no business in the world.
Amen.
Follow me, he says. I'll take care of you. Only thing the world wants to do is chew you up and spit you out, Kenny. You know that? The world just wants to destroy you. Okay? It might kind of hug you a little while. It's hugging with a knife in his back. You know what I'm saying? And God's telling his children, hey, listen, watch out for this. Respect me, love me, follow me. I'll take care of you. Acknowledge me in all that you do. And really, the only reason we don't acknowledge him anymore, more than we do maybe, is because of fear. We're afraid of being rejected. Are we not? Yeah. We can be afraid to be rejected. You're going back to the old guy knocking on the door from 40 years ago. We're afraid to be rejected from them because something inside of our heart saying that we have a longing to be a part of something. Amen? Yeah. That we want fellowship. We want friends. Everybody wants love. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Okay? But seriously, you know, we all... And God, I mean, that void we have in our hearts, God wants to fill it. He wants to fill it up with him. You know, you was created to love God. Okay, not forced to, but created to, that you could do that. And over the centuries and centuries because of sin, man, we want that longing for that fellowship with God, but we look in the wrong places for it. You know? And God wants to be that in your life. He wants to love you like no one else can. That no one else ever will. In fact, he does that right now, Bonnie. He loves you. I don't care what you do today. You can't stop God's loving. Now you can choose not to receive it. You know? Yeah, I love my wife. If she burns dinner tonight, we got a problem going on, you know? Nah, just kidding you.
There may not be dinner tonight.
It might not be dinner tonight. Okay. So, but the world will give you love if you do certain things. Yeah, we say, well, I just can't love them anymore. We got to understand what love is. Love from your father was his choice. You know that, Amber? He chose to love me. Love is not a feeling. Love is a choice you make. You're right in my eyesight today there, brother. And looking right at you, ain't you? But I choose to love you. I will lay my life down for you. That's what love is. No matter what happens, what takes place. You have a lot of friends that hangs around with you when you got money, right? Let the money go, and there goes the friends also. Yep. You'll get them calls, hey, what are you doing tonight? Oh, I'm hanging around the house. Well, hey, I thought maybe I might go here or there, and through your conversation, you find out that they find out you don't have any money, and they say, oh, okay, well, hey, I got to go. Click. Okay. Yeah. But God isn't that. God is there with you. 24 hours a day, that love is there for you. And he wants to keep that communication gap open by us acknowledging him. And it's not hard. I mean, it's not wrong, is it? AT&T tells you, back in the day, if that phone line, and some of you younger folks, used to be phone lines that went from one phone to another. If that line, it had to be connected to have communications. It's a sense. Storm come through, boom, communication line go down. You had to walk to your neighbor someplace, use their phone to call AT&T, or Vicky's case, you got to walk forever and ever and ever. Okay? But that wire, you imagine your mind, that wire has to be connected for communications. Same way with God. You know, He loves us, but we got to have that wire connected to Him through our communications, and that's through the forgiveness of our sins and following Him. And the world do everything they can to plug that baby up. Everything they can to tear that phone wire down. Temptation will come your way. The more you walk with the Lord, the more temptation you're going to have. You know, if you're sitting here today and say, well, Satan never tempts me, then you're probably not following the Lord very close, okay? He don't see you as a threat. But you say, man, I've been thinking about coming to church for the last 3 weeks, and every Sunday I get up, I got a flat tire, my battery's dead, I'm out of gas. Well, you know, something's going on, something's trying to stop you from coming to hear the Word of God. You know? Then we'll jump over one chapter there, Proverbs chapter 4. More wisdom to his children today from God. He says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, he says, my son, or my daughter, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all your body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Again, he's going back to us. He's given us everything that we need, but we have to do the turning. Amen? We have to turn away from it. You know, sometimes we'll say, well, Lord, just take this temptation away from me. Okay. How did that take place? Through your faith. How did faith come? Okay. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Okay. God, get me out of this situation. Lord, I don't know how I got here. I mean, you ever get born again, and the next thing you know, you find yourself almost where God found you at. You're that close to falling back into sin. You're that close. And you're saying, Lord, you know, help me. You know, help me get out of this. And you just realize. That simple. Walk away from it. Walk. I mean, it is that simple. Just to walk away from it. Then you realize, how did I get back in that predicament again? How did I get back in that situation again? Then I start studying that, Amber. Mm-hmm. The next time I start stepping in the same situation, oh, wait, I'm not going to go there. Okay? Or you might find yourself going into it again. Cry, Lord, help me out again. And it's amazing sometimes. I don't know, you know, everything, but you're in a situation, you need to change a conversation. It's gone the wrong way. Help me, Lord. And next thing, your phone rings. And you answer the phone, but it's the wrong number. Okay? Whatever it was, boom, it broke that. A way of escape. Yes, his word says that he'll always give you a way of escape from sin. But remember this, Pat. Yeah, I'm sitting here beside you. Okay. And just for a second, you're going to be sin, okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay, just for a second. You're just going to be sin for a second, okay? I'm sitting right beside you. Oh, Lord, here I am again. I'm so close to sin again. Well, God, just take me out of it. Just take me out of it. You know, just come on, God. You can do all things. Yeah. Yeah, all things, God, you can. I'm still sitting here. Well, in the Bible, it was Isaiah. Philip was another one that instantly he took him, boom, transported him from one place to another. So if he did that for Philip, he'd do that for me, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, besides sin, so Lord, you might get me out of here. If not, you know, maybe you won't. And next thing you know, look at it. Sin's pulling me. Go ahead, sister. Okay? Now here. Now, tug of war. Sin and evil. Yeah, but look what happened. I started leaning. Yeah, sit down a second here. Watch. I'm sitting right here. Get my arm. Now, both of them want me, okay?
No.
Okay. Satan and God both wants me, okay? Okay. Well, Satan's got a hold of me, okay? But here comes God, and he's pulling on me. Now, this pull right here is representing, okay, Starkey, get up, turn from evil. Get up and turn from evil. Get up and turn from evil, okay? And you're saying, oh, come back here. But looky, as I stand up, God is stronger than anything the devil can put out. So as I hear his voice, I turn from evil and I walk out. You know, and folks, that's how it works in our life. I know sometimes we want, well, God, this isn't of you. When we say that, normally we know it's not from him.
Right.
Amen? Yeah. We know it's not from him. But Lord, if it's not for you, you let a bluebird fly by me backwards with one wing. You know, we do all this stuff. Well, Lord, you had the opportunity to do that. And so we try to figure out a way that we can stay in our sin like that. But time and time again, he tells his children, listen, just turn from evil. Turn away from it. Yes. Sometimes it's by different friends in your life. Sometimes it's different music in your life. Amen? Oh, a different selector on your television. I mean, all that. It's just turn, he says. Let's get away from it. Is what he tells us. But he says, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. So if you won't give attention to his words, that means we must be reading them, right? We must be hearing them. And something we've been studying at home, but, you know, we talk about addictions, okay? People being addicted. And folks, that's not a bad thing. When we think about being addicted, we think about all the bad stuff. But man, you go clear back in the very beginning, look at God. And this lady was teaching, awesome teaching. But we were, from the very beginning, addicted to God. Addicted to his word. He says to study his word. Huh?
Pray constantly.
Pray constantly. I mean, conversation with God. Our mind is always will be addicted to something. It was God at one time. Then when sin came into the world, competition, we started being addicted to sin. And sin is anything that's not of God. Okay? How do you change your mind? Is what you put in it. You hear me, church? It's what your mind is concentrating on. You know, we're at the point now that we take anything that's a sin, we call it disease, okay? We call alcoholism a disease. And that's the biggest lie there is. It's not a disease. It's a sin. It's a sin. And so it's an addiction. You're right. So start concentrating on the Word of God. Take that part of the brain and start studying the Word of God. And let him remove you from that addiction to the alcohol.
Yes.
Or drugs, the same with all this. Okay. You know, it's a sin. And the good news is that Christ overcame every sin there is. Okay? So we just label things. You know, what's the word chronic? I think it is forever. Isn't that chronic? I think it is. When you say, well, you have chronic, boom. That's a lie. Nothing has to last forever with Jesus. Amen? But we get in our mind, though, the word chronic, it's chronic. And folks, it just takes away our hope, does it not? When the doctor says that, whether you have chronic bronchitis or arthritis or whatever it is, you know, and the doctors are telling you what they know, okay? I mean, I'm not down on doctors. I love doctors. But we got to know what the Word of God says. And with God, all things are possible. I come to heal and set free, okay? And so sometimes we get wrapped up in these little things, labels that the world gives us, and we kind of box out what God tells us. And so we allow that Word of God to come in. And that Word of God will help release us from any bad addictions that we have. Amen. That is very, very true. But he says, don't let my words depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. And in order to do that, man, you have to stay in His Word. You want to study His Word. You want to love Him more than anything. You know, my wife and I, there are times probably, we've been married 40 years, might have been a couple of times she really didn't want to talk to me, you know.
Maybe a time or two.
Yeah, maybe a time or two. I'm glad she didn't want to talk to me, okay? But eventually, we come back together, going back to the vows that we made to love and honor good times and bad times, okay? And we made a choice. You know, I often wonder this, and I know we all get busy, but if every day, if my bride and I would get up, have our coffee, and we would repeat our wedding vows to one another.
Oh, man.
Just thinking this seriously. No, don't say, oh, man.
I'm saying that it like...
I'm not getting another ring every day.
I'm saying it under conviction.
I know.
Oh,
but seriously, yeah.
Yeah. Mind.
You look right in her eyes every morning and say, I promise to love, honor,
right,
cherish you from death to part, sickness and health, and richer or poorer. Wow. I mean... I mean, there's no way. I don't believe we'd ever have an argument. You know, we have a disagreement, not argument.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe it's the same way of God. Every morning you get up and you read some of His Word. Remember who He is. Remember the love He has for you. Oh, remember where He brought you from. Man, it'd be unless you really made a purpose choice to walk out under His umbrella,
right,
of protection, walk into sin. It had to be a choice that you make and only you make. It's not because God would force you out there. But what a difference that would make. He says so, His words, they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body. Again, going back to our bodies, going back to health, is hearing the Word of God,
right,
and then applying it to our lives. And we all can sit in the doctor's office and listen to him, can't we, Bonnie? Hurry up. My wife's buying me dinner at McDonald's, okay? And we leave the doctor's office, Opal. So I went to the doctor's today, you know. What'd he say? Okay. But if I don't apply what the doctor tells me to do, according to the doctors, okay, and I'm talking about the Lord right now, then... it's not going to take place what He told me to do. If He said, well, Starkey, you're having a hard time breathing, get rid of the donuts. Start walking, exercise, drop 50 pounds. Okay? Okay? I leave the doctor's office, and you know what I heard? Hey, just walk slower. You know what I'm saying? Okay? But if I don't apply His words...
Eat less than that,
yeah.
Only one dozen.
Yeah. No, that's a good idea. Instead of eating donut holes, eat one big one. There you go. But don't we?
Yeah.
Don't we take what the doctor said and kind of stretch it around? But we take what the doctor tells us to do and apply it to our life. Our lives will get better according to the doctor. And I'm just saying the doctor for a minute. I'm not taking Jesus out of the equation. I'm talking about the Lord. So, if I go to the doctor, Opal, and I pay my copay, and he tells me, and I leave and I don't do it, Why did I go in the first place? Some reason is, them kids of mine kept telling me, go see the doctor, go see the doctor. So I went to see the doctor. Okay, it's worth paying the $5 copay to get them off my back. Okay? With no intentions of doing what the doctor told us. Okay? Sometimes that's why. And sometimes it's the same way coming to church. You know? Hey, glad to see you in church today. Well, I had to. I still love it. We had a fellow up here a couple of years ago. Some of you might remember. I could tell that he wouldn't be anywhere except in church. And I said, now somebody here today, the only reason you're here is because someone drug you here, right?
They made you come here.
Yep. I mean, he did. Oh, yeah, he was honest. He was honest about it. Okay? So people will come to church, the doctor's office, he's a great physician, because someone said to come. Now, it might not do a lot of good, but it don't do any harm. Because how can we hear the Word of God if we're not listening to it? Okay? Maybe, Opal, while you're sitting in a doctor's office, you want to be there just to please your kids. And I don't know if it happened or not, so don't, I'm just kidding you. But maybe you might hear a testimony from Vicky, who's there for the same reason. And while you're waiting to get this appointment over, she says, you know, I came here last month, and I had this. And you're like, man, that's the same thing I got. And I went in and saw the doctor. You know, he gave me one little pill. And here it is a month later, and man, the pain is gone. I can move my joints again. Okay? You're here because you have to be here, but you're listening to her. So you get to do this doctor thing, and you leave. And you, boy, you hadn't not changed any. You hadn't done what the doctor said. And you start thinking about what that lady in the doctor's office told you. So you make up an appointment this time on your own. Hey, doc, I'm going to come back in. So you come in and let them examine you. And you find out, man, same thing Vicky had. Gives you the same pill. And man, you feel better again. Same way in church. As you come in, you might not want to be here. But someone in the church gives a testimony. You think, wow, that's where my life is at. What? And you took one little pill? You took the blood of Jesus? And that got rid of the symptoms? It gave you a new life? They might reject it today, but out there in the world, they'll be thinking about what they heard. And next thing you know, they'll make their own appointment with Dr. Jesus and allow him to come into their life. Wow. Yes. Yep. You know, remember that doctors' offices and hospitals are full of sick people who want to get well. And folks, churches are the same way. Well, you know, Jesus said, man, a sick person, a well person doesn't need a doctor. He said that about the church. And we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we all need him. I'm going to close with a little parable today on Father's Day. Share a couple of things the Master shared with me. And it's the parable of the prodigal son. Everybody familiar with the prodigal son? Amen. Okay, some of you might not be, but I'm going to paraphrase it, okay? I'll put it in Starkey's words. There's this man, this father had two kids. And he had a big estate, and they worked on the farm. Pretty wealthy. And as time goes on, sometimes kids, they look beyond the father's farm. They see the world out there. And one day, the kid went to his dad and said, hey, listen, man, I want my inheritance. You know, I want everything you have. I want mine today. Now, I'm assuming the father, being a wise, loving father, would say, listen, you had the right to it. But man, what does the world have out there for you? Here you have shelter. You've got food. You got laundry services. Everything you need right here. I don't care. It's my inheritance. I want it. Okay, the father, probably a broken heart, he goes and divides up his estate. Half of it he gives to the younger son. The other half belongs to the older one. Well, a few days later, the younger son says, I'm taking off, Pop. I'm going to the city. Well, I figure what happened to somebody. Some of the old friends found out, hey, he's got money now. Hello, Daryl. Hey, what's going on, man? We ain't seen you in a few years. Yeah. Well, I know the last time I seen you, I pooched in a mud puddle. Okay, I understand that. Hey, come on down to the house tonight down here in the big city. We'd love to see you. Boom. So you leave what's been protecting you. You leave what's been providing for you. You leave the love that's been surrounding you by your father. You leave all that because you've been enticed by the world to step out into what we think is greener pastures. So you take your inheritance. He took his inheritance out. And I tell you what, he went to all the yard sales buying stuff, wasting his money on that. Several of the Goodwills and stuff. Oh, he had a trailer full of stuff. Man, I think he was scheduled for the next show of hoarders probably, okay? But the Bible says he went and he blew it all. He wasted every penny that he inherited from his father. And the next thing you know, all his friends are gone. Oh, where are they at now? Wow, money gone, so your so-called friends. So now we find this young man who came from a lifestyle of man of eating and protection and love of the father and employment and all the everything he ever wanted, he had it. We find this man a few years later. He's the point now that he is slopping hogs for a living. He found a job feeding pigs. He said he was so hungry he just wanted to eat the pig food. But no one would feed him. Even the people he was working for would not feed him. He found himself here now, boom, in the hog slop. I mean, how much farther down could you go? Then Jesus says he lay there for a while. Then he thought, well, back at my father's house, even the servants have something to eat tonight. So I'm going back to my father's house. I don't say, man, I have sinned against heaven and you. Forgive me. Just let me come back in and work for you. You know, I can imagine the son getting up. Can you imagine what's going through his mind? Oh, wait, so I'm going back here to my dad's house. And he told me this was going to happen. He told me not to go out there. I took everything that he earned in his lifestyle. And I see my dad work really hard. He said, I took everything that he had given me and I blew it. Man, I blew on everything. But something inside of him gave him enough strength to raise up out of that pig pen and start walking home. Whew, you think, man, what that dad's going to do? What, you coming back? You took all my money, you blew it. You know, that was my vacation in Hawaii. I gave it to you. And you went down and blew it all. Didn't I tell you? Who are you to come back here to my house? You know? But look what Jesus said happened. He said, as the son was a long ways off, the father saw him coming and started rejoicing. Hey, man, come on. Come on. Get the fattened calf. Here comes the son up. He said, get me a robe. Get me a ring. And he embraced his son's awe. Thank God you're home. Oh, can you imagine the joy the father had and the son? I can see him just crying and crying and crying because he knew what he had done. He said, Dad, I sinned against heaven and you. Here you are embracing me. Oh, what a rejoiceful time they had. But then the older son, he heard all this stuff going on, the partying going on. He said, hey, man, what's going on at my dad's house? What's going on? Well, man, there's a party going on. Party? Yeah, your brother's back. What? Your brother? My brother's back. He's partying with them? He wouldn't go in the house. Oh, he's out there. We have people so mad just like this. And of course, Dad is, yes, oh man, thank you for coming home, son. This. What's your brother doing out there? Yeah, I'll be in here partying with us. But he wouldn't come in. So the father went out to him and said, man, what's going on? He said, Dad, I stuck with you. I've been in this house over the day I was born. I work for you. I do all this stuff for you. And never once, you didn't even give me a small goat to have a party with my friends. Otherwise, you didn't give me a hog for a hog roast all this time. And here this son of yours comes home and you're having a party. See, he didn't acknowledge him as his brother. The son of yours, Jesus said. And the father looked at him and said, son, Man, everything I have is yours. Everything is yours now. But this brother of yours, he was dead. And now he's alive. Oh, rejoice. Rejoice, he says. That is a father's love. No matter what that kid was doing, no matter how many times, how many beer joints he was at partying, he was going, the father was still yearning for that son to return. We know that because the guy was a long ways off and the father saw him. So he had to be watching for him. Praying for the return of that son. Praying to be protected. Oh Lord, he's out running around tonight. I know he's out there with them harlots and stuff, but God put a hedge of protection around him. I declare that my inheritance. That no hair on his head will be harmed. And when he saw him come, oh my, my. Rejoicing. And folks, that's what your Heavenly Father is like right now today. I don't care how deep in the hog lot you've been. I don't care if you've been in church before and God rained down upon you His love and His mercy and blessed you and you took it and next thing you know you walked away from Him and you blew it all. Now here you are today, you have nothing left again. Come home, He says. Come back. Satan will try to tell you you stink too bad. You can't come back to the house of God. But God is waiting for you to come back to Him. You know, today He shares that with us. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I don't know. I don't know what temptations you might fall into. I pray none. I pray for your faith to be strong. But leave here today knowing that if something would take place and you would fall away from God, that He is waiting for you to return back to Him. Day in or day out, He's waiting for you to come back joyfully. Wanting to embrace you, wanting to love you, wanting to take care of you. A father's love never dies for his children. No matter where the children go. We sang earlier today that we are a family of God. Amen? We are a family of God. So may our hearts always be as our Father in heaven. May our hearts always be looking out the window there, waiting for that one to come back. Because see, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? Since Adam and Eve sinned, we've all been born in sin. We've all been away from God. And He's watching out for each one of us to return back to Him. No matter where you've been, what you've done. But may our hearts be in this church here that we'll always look out for those who once was in fellowship and now has fallen away. May they be a burden upon our hearts to pray for them. And the minute we see them coming back, may we run and embrace them. Hug them, say, welcome back to the kingdom of God. May we not be like the older brother and say, huh. Well, they used to walk with the Lord. They've been gone 30 years. Vicky, 30 years they've been away from God. Here we are in a couple weeks away from the rapture. A couple weeks away from God coming again. We're coming back to the Lord. All the dishes we've done back here in the back. Oh, man. All the cookies Opal made. And they've been out running around. Oh, running around. How dare them come back? May that never be our heart. Amen. May we rejoice. Hey, listen. For those who have been walking with God for 30, 40, 50 years, yes, your reward to be greater in heaven. But there's no greater reward than heaven. So may our hearts be softened and receive each other back. And if you see a brother or sister has fallen away, lift up a hand to them. Yep. You know, a lot of people, they want to come back, but they're afraid to. They're embarrassed. And we've all been there, guys. You know? Yeah. Someone returns, just embrace them. Hey, I'm glad to have you today. Do not ask them. Where you been? Please. Someone comes in the day, you haven't seen him for 8 months, a year. Hey man, how you doing? Oh, God love you. Glad to have you today. Don't say, hey man, where you been? It make no difference. It's probably going to go now. And where they've been is between them and God. Same as us. Amen? Amen. I just pray that our Father in heaven will bless His children today. As you have blessed Him today by lifting your voices in praise and worship and hearing His word, may you be encouraged today. Amen. Amen. God is good. God is good.